In those days, that a decree went forth from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And we all proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, that there shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for Lord, what this day represents, Lord. And God, you came to send your, Lord, blessed little son, God, into our world and came to be with us, God, and suffer amongst us, Lord. And we come, God, to celebrate that, Lord. Not to celebrate trees or angels, God, or gifts or, God, any of these other things that the world throws at us, God. But we come to celebrate Jesus. And so would you quicken our hearts, God? Would you quicken our minds, Lord, to understand the scriptures, God, in a way that brings transformation into our lives? God, we bless you. We thank you. We ask right now that you release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit. Give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to us tonight or today. We thank you so much, God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, I want you to think about Christmas, right? Close your eyes for a second. Think about Christmas. What are the images or thoughts that come to mind? All right, open your eyes. It was a quick glance. Well, what are some images that come to mind? Santa Claus, right? Christmas tree, reindeers, presents. Did you guys all get good presents this morning, I hope? Right? What else? I guess not, huh? It was a sad Christmas for many of you. But what other images are there of Christmas? The manger. You know, it's you know, we do this, especially if you ask a young kid about Christmas, right? There's all kinds of things that really have nothing to do with Christmas. You know, Christmas is about Jesus. Right? And so why don't you look to your neighbor, say, "Hey, good looking. Christmas is about Jesus." In fact, just say, "It's all about Jesus." Right? For some of you, that was the best gift that you got, that you got some encouragement today. Now, in Luke chapter 2, right, this is a passage about the Savior. Now, the way that the Son of God was born, and this is, I want you to capture this, the way that he was born really tells us a lot about who God is. You know, I think there's not a greater picture of who God is, you know, except for Christ. Obviously, the Bible is pretty clear on that. But even the way that he came into this earth gives us an incredible picture of exactly, right, who God is all about and about his character. You know, it said it's not what you say that reveals who you are, it's what you do. And as Jesus is coming to this earth, right, Jesus came to reveal God to us, right? And so his birth tells us a lot about God. I just have a few simple things, right? Number one, it tells us that God is humble, right? It tells us that God is humble. Now, you have to understand humility in a kind of a different way, because, you know, you just, in some ways, you just can't choose to be humble yourself, okay? You actually have to achieve some kind of success in your life to be humble. Right? I mean, you know, if you're a failure, your failure has humbled you, so there's no sense, you know, for you to humble yourself, as the Bible's telling us. Right? And so there has to be some level of success or some prominence in some area of your life, and then only then do you get to choose humility. You guys understand what I'm saying? Right? I mean, if you're a businessman and you're a horrible businessman, you're humbled by your failures. And so there's no sense to humble yourself, like the Bible tells us. But see, now we have this God who is eminently successful, who is eminently prominent, and he decides to humble himself. You know, probably, you know, one of the greatest, you know, modes of humility, you know, is this creator God. If you think about this awesome God, he did reduce himself to a tiny fertilized egg. I mean, can you imagine what that's like? You know, I mean, this huge God, became this tiny little egg, right? In this tiny little woman's womb. And that was Jesus. And so his birth tells us what kind of person God is, or what kind of character God is all about. God is eminently humble, right? That's a part of who he is, right? God chooses humility, right? Incredibly successful, right? God, but he chooses to be humble, right? He reduces himself to this. If you turn to Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2 tells us, verse 5, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Right, the word there, he says that he emptied himself. You know, the literal translation is that he made himself into nothing. Right, he empties himself. Right, the very form of humility, he totally goes out. And you think about this. You know, kings travel. Even we travel. We want to go first class. You know, we want to get bumped up into business class or first class, or we want to have the seats empty next to us when we fly. You know, we get to the hotel, we want the concierge to come and greet us, you know, by name, you know, and then whisk us off into our rooms, you know, and we want the nice bed and, you know, all made up, and we want them to turn the sheets over, you know, and even for us common people, we like luxury, right? We like that kind of experience. And if you know anything about kings traveling and princesses and all of these, as they travel around the world, I mean, it's opulence. You know, they get the best of everything, you know, guards and security officers and limousines and all these things. And imagine the King of Kings and Lord of Lords chose to travel, right, in the lowest of means possible, riding on a donkey, born in a barn, right? And not even just what they're born in the barn, the literal bed, the cradle of our Jesus was a pig's trough. You know, I know we have those manger scenes, you know, they look so nice. You know, it's like all this, you know, beautiful like cotton balls everywhere, you know, and there's a nice little cradle and little baby Jesus who looks white, you know, is inside, you know, even though he's Jewish, right? You know, and he's got blue eyes and, you know, and just his skin is glowing, and you see the mother standing over, and then the father, and then the wise men and the shepherds, and then you got the little animals all around, and so, oh, how beautiful. You know, what a peaceful little setting. I guarantee it didn't look like that. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, have you guys have you been to the new territories lately? You know, have you gone through where they have like duck fields or, you know, I remember when I was, I used to live in new territories many years ago when I was here in Hong Kong. And every once in a while, you know, when I would get on the KCR, you know, to go to different places we need to get to, you know, there'll be these huge trucks of pigs that would fly by. I mean, this is July, right? You know, humidity is like 99.9%, but it's not raining, right? On the verge of raining, you know, it's like 35 degrees Celsius out here. I mean, it's boiling. And all of a sudden, you're waiting at the KCR station. You don't know what hits you. And all of a sudden, like 10 trains of pigs rush by, you know, and the scent lingers for, I mean, hours, you know, and then you get home and your clothes just smell like pigs. And I mean, just a horrible wrench. Jesus was born in the very thing that the pigs would eat out of. You know, it wasn't very clean. You know, I mean, you think, surely the King of Kings and Lord of Lords would come into the world, you know, with bugles and trumpets and, you know, dancers and, you know, whatever, grandeur, you know, these kind of things. But no, he comes into the world in utter humility, right? They don't even have a room for Jesus in the inn. Can you believe that? Right? Not even a room. You know, surely, you know, if Prince, who is the name of Prince? The British guy, what's his name? Prince Charles, right? If Prince Charles came to Hong Kong, right, and he walked into the Mandarin Oriental or any place, I'm sure they get a room for him like this, right? They'll kick someone out of the presidential suite or whatever, right? And Charles, he'd have the pick of the litter right there, right? But Jesus can't even get into a rundown shack of a little inn, a little hotel, actually a motel, you know? I mean, imagine that. That's Jesus. That's God. Right? If he says that he is the exact representation, right? He says, you see the Son, you see the Father. Right? He says, the Father and I are one. And when we look at Jesus, especially his birth, you recognize, oh my goodness, this is God. This is who God is. God is imminently humble. He has to be, right? For this incredible supreme being to reduce himself to this little tiny baby. That's who God is. Right? He's humble. He comes to us. You know, look at, you don't have to turn there, but in Matthew 11, right? The great passage. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Right? Learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul. Look at the words that he uses. I'm gentle and I'm humble. That's how he describes himself. That's God. Right? That's this being that we sang to earlier today. That's who he is. Right, he's not some God up there that's really mean, you know, and ready to smack some people over the head in the slightest thought of a sin. No, he's imminently humble, and he came to be with us. Even the name that he was given, Emmanuel, literally means God with us. Right, that's what Jesus is all about. This is what God is. This is what his birth reveals about God. And think about this: who went to see this Jesus? Right, who went to see this baby king? Surely the prime minister, the rabbis, right, the Sanhedrin, you know, the wealthy, affluent people of their time, you know, governors, magistrates, you know, the best of the best. But who comes to see Jesus? Three shepherds, right? A few shepherds and a few wise men. In fact, not even enough prestige did they have to even leave their name. You know what I mean? They're nameless, faceless, right? They're people of no reputation whatsoever. And they came to visit the baby Jesus. He was born humbly, right? It shows the humility of God. Number two, what does it say about God, his birth? It says that Jesus, or God, is incredibly approachable. Incredibly approachable. Hindus, in order to get to God, must offer sacrifice upon sacrifice upon sacrifice. You know, if you've ever been to a Hindu temple or visited a Hindu nation, you know, you see that before you go to a temple or any of you, I mean, there's just masses of offerings that you need to be giving. You need to walk and just give to this and give to that and give to this and give. And just it's on and on and on and on. And then, possibly, you may approach God after all the sacrifice. To Muslims, even God, even to pray to God, right? If you pray, you must kneel, your forehead must hit the lowest part. In fact, hit the ground. And then can you approach God. Right, and so and as we look at in some passages of Scripture, we see that God is holy. Yes, he's a holy God. Right, and all the Jews recognize this. Right, they remember the burning bush. They remember the Ark of the Covenant. Right, remember Uzzah? He touched the Ark. You know, because it was kind of tipping over, and then he died instantly. And so there is a holiness aspect of God. But what can be more approachable than a tiny little baby? Huh? You guys have seen my little girl. Any of you guys afraid of her? Right? Does she, you know, strike fear in you? I hope not. Right? I think she's the cutest thing in the world. You know? But what could be more approachable than a tiny baby? Right? God is innately approachable. Right? Yes, there's the holiness factor. Yes, there's all these things. But our God is a God that wants us to come to him. Right, all through from Genesis all the way to Revelation, you hear about a God that says, "Come!" Right, and Isaiah says, "Come, let us reason together." Right, he tells us through the prophets, you know, seek the Lord while he can be found. You know, and he says, "If you draw near to me," right, through James, says, "and I'll draw near to you." Right, and so we see this God who is desiring for people to draw near to connect with him. Right, he makes himself available to people, and he says, "Come, draw near." Right, come learn of me. Right, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. As we just read before. Right, and a lot of times in a lot of other religions and all these things, right, fear was the primary mode or the primary emotion when someone comes to approach God. But let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews. chapter 4. Right? Before it was fear. And now Jesus, through His life, His birth, introduces us to what we call the new covenant. And in Hebrews chapter 4, it says this in verse 14. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in our time of need. Wow. You mean, God, we can come to You and we don't have to be afraid? With our sin full inside of us, Lord, we can run to You and we can come confidently and we can run to this place and God says, just say, God, help! I need some help, Lord. Come, rescue me. Or whatever situation that we're in. Lord, bring peace in my life. Lord, let there be some satisfaction inside of me. And He says, we can come and He'll receive us? Yes. He says, come. You know what it means to come with confidence? I mean, you know what that's like? You know, and a lot of us, we unfortunately tiptoe around God. You know, we're kind of afraid to ask Him things because, you know, he might strike us down or some of these things. But see, the birth story, it goes totally contrary to that. And what it means is coming in confidence, right? Is we come to ask, we come to the throne room, and it's as if you already got it, and you come anyway. You know what I mean? It's just confidence. I think about my little girl, and this is kind of image that I want her to have of her daddy. You know, is that she can come to me anytime. You know, anytime she wants. You know, it's not like I can give her the world, but to the best of my abilities, I will. You know, that's coming with confidence. You know, it's like, you know, you have friends or people that you hang out with and you know that you know, even before you ask, you know, like for instance, okay, Mike's not here, right? You know, we need a place for our party, right? Okay, I need to ask someone. I ask Mike. I ask him with confidence. Mike's a yes man. You know what I mean? And so, Mike, can we do yes? You know, yes. You know, it's no problem. Actually, Stanley's kind of the same way. You know, and things. And so there's certain people that, you know, it's like asking is a mere formality. You know what I mean? Like it's already done. It's a done deal. That's what coming with confidence is like. Right? Coming to the throne room with confidence, it says. You know, and so it's not like we come and we tiptoe and, you know, like, nah, 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 you know? It's like we bust through the door. Yeah, I'm home. You know, I'm here. God, You got something for me right now, man. Come on. You know, just lay it on me. Right? That's what confidence is like. And God says He is approachable. Just like the little precious baby. Anyone that wants to come to Jesus can come to Jesus. Did you know that? Right? Anyone in the world, doesn't matter what age, you know, what background that you're from, you know, what beliefs that you had before, anyone that wants to come to Jesus can come to Jesus. That's what it's all about. Right? God, He is imminently approachable. Right? This is the new covenant. Right? In Jesus, God found a new way, right? Or a different way of relating to human beings that did not involve fear. I would say this. If you, when it comes to your relation with God, if it's fear-based, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. Right? In your relation with God, if it's based on fear, in fact, if some of you are at church today because it's Christmas, but you feel like if you don't come to church, right, your business deal will fall apart, you know, your relationships will, you know, destruct, your bank account will, you know, go down to nothing, you know, and if you come to church or you come to God out of fear, man, that's not right. There's something wrong there. See, there's this really special word. It's called grace. Grace, right? It's more than a pretty name for a girl, right? It's, you know, it's the very thing that separates Christianity from every other belief system in the world, right? We get something that we don't deserve. We deserve punishment, but instead we get favor and blessing. Grace, right? God is approachable. Number three, another thing that we learn through this whole Christmas birth, we learn, right, that God, right, always roots for the underdogs, right? The underdogs, right? The world may be tilted, right, toward the rich and the powerful, but God is always tilted toward the underdogs. In Luke chapter 1, go back to our original text, just a chapter before. This is Mary's song that he offers to God after she finds out that she has a baby. And in Luke 1, verse 51 through 53, what it says, "He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who are humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed." Right? He has brought down rulers from their thrones, exalted those who are humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, and he sent away the rich empty-handed. Right? God is always the God of the underdogs, right? The marginalized, right? The weak, the poor. That's just what he's about. You know, I read this story many years ago. I'll share with you again. I think I shared once before. It was a pastor, a Romanian pastor named Laszlo Tox. Is an excerpt from his books. It's while preparing a Christmas sermon during the time of communist oppression and violence in Romania. You know, Laszlo Tox, for his sermon, he chose Herod's Massacre of the Innocents. Right, this passage spoke most directly to his church members. You know, who were living in a time of oppression, fear, violence. You know, it was the daily plight of the underdog. You know, the next day during Christmas, right, news broke out that the dictator, you know, had been arrested. Church bells rang. Joy broke out. Another Herod had fallen on that day. And Tox recalls in his story, he says, "All the events of the Christmas story had a new brilliant dimension for us, a dimension of history rooted in the reality of our lives." You know, some of you guys know the story of how the Romanian government was toppled, the communist government. Tox, you know, very outspoken pastor, his church had grown to a tremendous number. And he defiantly stood, you know, in the midst of the oppressive communist regime. You know, he preached this Christmas message, and the government was so incensed with him that they came to the church and they wanted to drag him out. His church members came and blocked the doors of the church. You know, but eventually Tox, he didn't want his church members to get hurt because he's seen how the government has beaten up people and sent people away to prison for no reason. And so he surrendered himself, you know, and so he got sent away. And basically what happened the next day, God began to stir the people in such a way, you know, and an uprising happened. And overnight, Christmas Day, right, communism was toppled in Romania. The dictator was you know, taken out of office, and a whole new regime came. You know, and it was after this message that burned his heart about the massacre of Herod. You know, God is always for the underdogs. Now, I don't know if you figured that out yet. As you look all through the scriptures, right? He's always for the underdogs. Think about this. Here's Jesus, right? This is their story. Unwed mother, homeless, fleeing basically heavy taxation of a colonial government, right, living in a land of violent civil wars and turmoil, right, gives birth, right, in Asia. You know, the son becomes a refugee in Africa. You know, theologians like to use this word, right, God's preferential option for the poor. Right, this is the story of the most incredible underdog. You know, some of you guys that have been going through Bible study, through John, you know, we've been going through the parts where, you know, now the Pharisees are making fun of Jesus. They're trying to, you know, kind of dice at him because, you know, he's basically born out of wedlock. You know, and you can see, you know, the anger in the people, especially the Pharisees, they're offering this to, you know, to Jesus. You know, and I mean, right, unwed mother, homeless, right, fleeing a colonial government, you know, living in a violent land. Man, if this is not an underdog, I don't know who is. You know what I mean? You know, and this is Jesus, right? And God is always for the underdogs, right? God's preferential option for the poor. Right? God's, through this picture, He's humble, He's approachable, and God is an underdog. You know, so, always at the end of the message, you know, you guys always need to ask this question. So what? So what? All right, Pastor Sam, that was a decent message. So what? It's a big deal, you know. What, you know, what, or if you're nice, more of what now, right? So what is more of a Gen X thing, right? What now, you know? What does this mean to me? You know, how am I supposed to take this life in? Let me give you a few suggestions here during this Christmas season. Mm-hmm. Number one, be there. Just like Jesus was there for us, you be there for someone else, right? You know, one thing about Christmas, that's why, honestly, Christmas as a holiday is not really my favorite. I like Thanksgiving, right? Thanksgiving, you don't have to do anything. You just show up and you eat like a pig, right? That's, you know, I like Thanksgiving. Christmas, you got to go shopping. You got to fill out a jillion Christmas cards, you know. And you know what I mean? It's busy. It's work. It's, you know, all kinds of things are happening. Well, during this season, especially, be there. Be there for someone. Right, as God has come in and been there for us through Jesus, you be there for someone else. You know, don't get so caught up in the Christmas trees and, you know, and the decorations and the presents and wrapping the gifts and, you know, I mean, that's all good stuff. But Jesus, right, came to be with us. He gave us His most valuable commodity. You know, the most valuable commodity that you have is not your money, it's your time. Time you never get back. Did you know that? You can always make more money, but you can never make time, right? So be there for someone. You know, think about some people in your life, you know, that you haven't seen for a while, or well, maybe go be there for them. You know, and if you can't be there personally, you know, at least extend a phone call or something, you know, that kind of shows that you care. As God was there for us, you go and be there for someone else. Right? You know, don't get caught into this lie that the corporations have built up about Christmas is shopping and, you know, come on, man. It's not what Christmas is. Christmas is Jesus. You know, that's why I like any of you guys speak Spanish, right? You know, it's Christmas, more of Jesus, right? Mas is more for, you know, if he has no Spanish, right? It's a perfect illustration. I know that's not Spanish, you know, that's not what they meant, but that's my interpretation of that. You know, and it's just more of Jesus. That's what Christmas is all about, right? So go be there for someone, right? You know, forget, you know, the presents and forget all these things. Just make time, right? The most valuable commodity that you own and you offer it up to some other people, right? That's what this season is all about, right? That's what we're gathered here. Number two, be a giver. Not only be there, but be a giver. Right, give with a delightful heart. You know, as God has given us the most precious gift, you go and be givers. Right, and don't just give to your friends. You know, don't just give to people that give to you. Right, because that's not God's character. Right, God gives to everyone. He gives to the neediest. He gives to the poorest. Right, He gives to the most marginalized, the beaten down. And that's what God's heart is. And so if you want to capture, you know, and I know there's all these, you know, like I was in a shopping center the other day and I saw this big sign on some shopping bag, the spirit of Christmas. You know, and I was thinking, that's not the spirit of Christmas, right? It's not some big old ball and some 500-foot tall tree. That's not the spirit of Christmas. The spirit of Christmas is in us. It's the heart to give to people. It's a heart to spend time with people. It's a heart to love others in an incredible way. That's the spirit of Christmas. Amen? Why don't we close our eyes? During this season, if you have had difficulty in approaching God, maybe it was some kind of innate fear that you had, or I want to encourage you. Don't be afraid. Enter with boldness, with confidence, and receive mercy. Maybe some of you have never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. But upon hearing the message, you recognize, man, this God is pretty cool. He's not like what I thought He was. Our God is humble, He's approachable, and He's the underdog. I just want to encourage you to go to the Lord today in prayer. And if maybe this holiday season you've been focused on the wrong stuff, I encourage you to focus yourself on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising shame. Now He sits at the right hand of the Father. Let's go to Jesus. Father, we thank You, God. Bless You. Bless You, Jesus. Just go to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Nate, why don't you come up? You know, during worship, you guys can just keep your eyes closed and just meditate and think. You know, during worship, I was a little overcome today. And I was just kind of just picturing baby Jesus, and maybe I was feeling a lot more because, you know, I just became a father this year, very recently. I felt like the Spirit just kind of placed me in the Father's position. You know, Jesus Christ came into the world to die. Jesus Christ's sole purpose was to die a painful death for us. That's why He came. Incredible. I don't get it either. The only reason He came is to be with us, to die for us. The least we can do is honor Him with our lives. Imagine a father's heart. Father God, the perfect Father, looking over in that manger, in that smelly pig's trough, and He sees His Son. The father knows what's going to happen to this son. That's the depth of God's love for you. Lord, you're so gracious. Stand together. Let's just spend the time. I didn't want to speak too long today. I just wanted to worship God. Let's worship the Son. Let's thank God for all that He's done for us. Let's bless His name.
tongue confesses you as Lord. When you come in glory for the world, we will sing to the King in all His splendor and majesty. Hail to the King of Kings, Lord Jesus, our God. Hail to the King in all His splendor and majesty.
Glorious Lord.
Redeemer.
Would you grab someone's hand next to you? We can go across the aisles. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray in this year as we finish to a close. Let's pray for God's blessing on the person right and left of you. Let's pray that this holiday season that Jesus would be the prominent figure in our lives. Let's pray for each other. I would just thank you, Jesus. God, you humbled yourself. Lord, incredible God, and you became a man. Lord, the deity, God, was displayed, God, on a precious little child, born in probably some of the worst circumstances. And Lord, you came to be with us. And we thank you for that gift, God. But we just pray, God, that in all that we do, Lord, God, that we would just fall on our knees, Lord, and bring homage and give glory to the Son. Lord, help us this week, God, in some way, Lord, to bring glory to Jesus. God, and Lord, to further His kingdom, God. Use us, God, in our workplaces and our families, Lord, wherever, Lord, you may take us. Allow us, God, to honor the Son. We thank you so much, God. Watch over us, Lord. We bless you. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace this day forever. Amen. 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 Would you hug your neighbor and say, Happy birthday, Jesus? Please stick around for some refreshments. We'll see you on New Year's Eve. God bless you.